This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله اللهم رب عدد عدد الله سبحانه وتعالى محمد صلى الله عليه
وسلم All praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we seek His help. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and the consequences of our actions. Indeed, whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can misguide. And whomever Allah misguides, none can guide him back to the straight path. I bear witness and I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final prophet and his most perfect worshipper. As to what follows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us in the Qur'an, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ O you who believe, be conscious of Allah. The way that Allah deserves, you are conscious of Him. And do not die except in a state of Islam. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today's khutbah will be about one verse in the Qur'an, Surah Ibrahim, verse 24. It is a verse in which Allah Azza wa Jal gives us a parable, a metaphor. And He asks us to think about that parable. He asks us to contemplate the metaphor that He is giving. This verse begins, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبًا. Haven't you seen the example? It's a rhetorical question. Whenever the Quran says, haven't you seen? أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Whenever Allah says, أَلَمْ تَرَ, in English this translates as, don't you see this? Can't you understand how important this is? Ponder over this example. So the rhetorical question from Allah is meant to draw attention. Think about this verse. Contemplate this verse. Have you not seen the example that Allah has given? The example of what? The example of the kalima tayyiba, like a beautiful tree. The example of the kalima tayyiba, like a beautiful tree. We will go on the verse. Let's pause over here. The kalima tayyiba, as we all know, is la ilaha illallah. Ibn Abbas said, the kalima tayyiba in this verse is the kalima of la ilaha illallah. And it is called the kalima tayyiba, which means the pure kalima, which means the blessed kalima. It means the kalima that has no negative in it. Tayyiba is pure. The kalima tayyiba. It is called tayyiba because there is nothing that is more pure than this kalima. There is nothing that is more blessed than this kalima. There is nothing that is more heavy than this kalima. It is narrated in the Mustadrak of Al-Hakim that Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, oh Allah, teach me a dhikr that I can remember you by. So Musa was told by Allah that, oh Musa, say la ilaha illallah. Musa said, oh Allah, everyone says la ilaha illallah. Means I want something special. I want something more blessed. I want something unique only to me. Allah said, oh Musa, if all of the creation and the seven heavens and the seven earths and all that was in them was put on one side of the scale and la ilaha illallah were to be placed on the other side, la ilaha illallah would be heavier than all of that. Meaning, there is nothing more blessed than la ilaha illallah. In Sunan al-Tirmidhi, it is narrated that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفْضَلُ مَا قُلْتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ قَبْلِي. The best phrase that I have ever said, myself and all the prophets before me. None of the prophets says something better than this. All of the prophets said the best. What is it? أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. This is the best phrase. It is the purest phrase. It is the kalima tayyiba. So Allah says, haven't you seen the example of la ilaha illallah, which is iman, the example of iman? What is this example? كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ, like a beautiful tree. So Allah is saying the kalima tayyiba is like a beautiful tree. Let us pause here before we move on. Notice, the kalima, any kalima, is an inanimate object. It is not a living object. When you say something, speech is inanimate. Speech is not living. But Allah says the kalima tayyiba is something that is alive. The kalima tayyiba is something that is alive. It's not something that is dead. The kalima tayyiba, iman, faith, is not something that is dead. Iman is something that is alive. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, a lot of times in English, we translate iman as faith. And the reality is that faith is not a perfect translation. There is no one word that really makes us understand what is iman in the English language. Because iman in Arabic, iman in the Quran, iman in the Sunnah is more than just knowing some facts and believing in them. No, that's not the case. And the best example for this, to really illustrate the point, Iblis, the most despised of the makhluqat. Iblis, the one whom Allah says, la'anahu Allah. Iblis, the one whom Allah has said, take him as an enemy to all of you. Does Iblis know that Allah exists? Does Iblis know that Allah is the one true Lord? Does Iblis know that there's a qiyamah? Does Iblis know that there's heaven and hell? Does Iblis know that Allah has sent the prophets? Think about these questions and you will answer, yes, Iblis knows. Yes, Iblis believes at some level. At some level, he believes that Allah exists. At some level, he believes that there's heaven and hell. Of course, he made dua to Allah. Oh Allah, allow me to live until judgment day. He's making dua dua to Allah. So from an English perspective, not Arabic, from an English perspective, we can say, Iblis believes in Allah. Iblis believes in Qiyamah. Iblis believes in heaven and hell. Iblis believes in the prophets. But is Iblis a believer? Is Iblis a mu'min? Obviously not. Obviously not, which illustrates that iman is not synonymous with faith and belief. Iman is not the same as merely knowing and then affirming. Not at all. So Allah is saying iman is something that is living. Kalima tayyiba is a shajara, which means iman is manifested in your life. Iman is demonstrated in your akhlaq, in your amal. And that is why in over 75 verses in the Quran, over 75 times in the Quran, the phrase occurs, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, what's the next phrase? وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Iman and amal go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. There is no such thing as theoretical faith, as, oh, I know I'm a Muslim, I put on a census form, I'm a Muslim. No, not good enough in the eyes of Allah. It might be good enough for our governments, it might be good enough in the census forms, but for Munkar and Nakir, for the angels, for the Hisab, for the Shuhud, for the Qiyamah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not good enough to say, oh, I know I'm a Muslim, I'm born in a Muslim family. No! Iman is a lived reality. It is demonstrated in your lifestyle, like Allah compares iman to a tree. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, there is a tree amongst the trees that most resembles the mu'min. Do you know what it is? They tried and they guessed and they weren't able to guess. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is the date palm tree. It is the date palm tree, the nakhla. Our scholars mention, why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say the date palm tree resembles the mu'min the most? Because the date palm tree is one of the most blessed trees. Everything from the date palm is utilized by society. Nothing is thrown away. At every stage of its growth, the date palm is benefited. Its roots are used for medicine and herbs. Its trunk is used for the building of houses. Its leaves are used for the roofs. Its fruit is, of course, of the most precious fruit known to man, and that is dates. Every single portion of the date palm is beneficial. This is what our Prophet is saying. The mu'min is like the date palm. You can see his benefit. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, the kalima tayyiba is a beautiful tree. As well, a beautiful tree. A tree isn't just something that is alive. No, it's not just something that is alive. If Allah had wanted to, he could have said, the kalima tayyiba is a beautiful butterfly. He would have said, oh, how beautiful. No, trees. What is unique about trees? We know this since we were in grade 1 and 2, since primary school. The building block of life begins with trees. Trees is where everything begins when it comes to life on this earth. The issue of photosynthesis, taking in carbon dioxide, giving back oxygen. The entire structure of life revolves around and begins with the tree. So too is the kalima tayyiba. It's not just something that is alive. No, the kalima tayyiba is life-giving, not just something that is alive. Like the tree is life-giving, like the tree sustains life. Life could not exist without the tree. So too, without the kalima tayyiba, there is no spiritual life. Without la ilaha illallah, the ruh is dead. The qalb does not have a spiritual pulse, even if the heart beats physically. Without iman, without the kalima tayyiba, spiritually the heart is dead. So the kalima tayyiba is not just alive, it is life-giving. And look at how beautiful the metaphor is. Subhanallah, it is amazing that in every culture, in every society, in every era and generation, the universal symbol for life and for peace is the tree. It is true. Look at any culture and civilization. A tree symbolizes stability. It symbolizes life. It symbolizes peace and security. Even the United Nations has as its security, as its peace, the leaf or the fern. Any organization, any NGO that wants to mention its mission as being peaceful, as being green, as being anything, the symbol will be something of the tree. Why? Because it is ingrained in us that the tree is life-giving, that the tree is something that is giving stability, that the tree provides for us. And look at how beautiful this metaphor is. SubhanAllah, what does the tree not give for us? It gives us the air that we breathe. It gives us the fire by which we cook. It gives us the firewood, or the logs, excuse me, by which we build our houses. For the Arabs, it provided the roof as well. Literally, without exaggeration, the air that they breathe, the fire that they cook with, the houses that they live in, the roofs that they live under, the fruits that they eat, all of it is coming from the tree. Allah is saying, the kalima tayyiba is your tree. You can't live without the kalima tayyiba. It's giving you everything from A to Z. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the iman and kalima tayyiba is like a beautiful tree. As well, notice, what does the tree have? The tree has roots and branches. The tree has a trunk. The tree has that which is essential and that which is beautification. For example, the trunk. If there is no trunk, there is no tree. And the branches. Not every branch is essential. You can break a branch and the tree is still there. So too is iman. There are aspects of iman. If you don't have them, you don't have iman. If you don't have the kalima, you don't have iman. And then there are aspects that are important but not essential. There are aspects that are beautification and not even important. So iman is not just one thing. It is multifaceted. It is multi-layered. There is that which is essential, for example, the trunk. There is that which is important, for example, the main branches. There is that which is a beautification, for example, the flowers and whatnot. So too is iman. Not everything is the same. Not every good deed has the same level. Not every sin has the same weight. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, iman consists of 60 odd branches. Again, the metaphor of the tree. 60 odd branches. So not all the branches are the same. One of our famous scholars of the past, Imam al-Bayhaqi, he died 486 Hijra, 1,000 years ago. He wrote one of the most magnificent books of hadith. It is called Al-Jami'u li-Shu'ab al-Iman, the encyclopedia about the branches of iman. It is in 16 volumes in print, and he goes over every single branch that is mentioned in the prophetic hadith. So iman is like a tree. It has essentials, it has important, it has peripheries and tertiary matters. So too is our iman. The ayah goes on. Iman is like a tree that is beautiful. It's not an ugly tree, it's a tree that is beautiful. Asluha thabit. The roots are firm and deep. Still from the verse. So Allah is saying, this is a tree whose roots go deep and they are firm. What is the meaning of this metaphor? What does it mean when we say that the tree's roots go deep? Well, many things. First and foremost, the tree is not new. It is not young. It is not something that was done yesterday. To have deep branches means what? Iman is very, very old. In fact, from our tradition, from our understanding, iman predates even our own cognition, even our own understanding. As our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu mawludin yuladu 'ala al-fitra." Every child is born upon the pure fitra. When you are born, you don't even know how to speak. You don't even recognize what is around you, but inside of you there is the kernel of iman. And this is a blessing from Allah. Doesn't matter what your parents were, Christian, Jew, Buddhist, Muslim, agnostic, Hindu, atheist, doesn't matter. When the child is born, the child has a spiritual DNA of iman. Iman is in the heart of the child. And that is why when this child grows up, perhaps the parents convert him to this or that, but the child's heart is pure, becomes a young man and woman. They hear the Quran and Sunnah and their heart is inclined. They recognize the truth from within. There's an internal compass that recognizes the truth, and so they end up converting. Why and how? Because their pure fitrah, their innate nature was uncorrupted. Iman is deep. It predates us. Iman is deep. We had it even before we knew we had it. And this is what Allah is saying. That asluha thabit. As well, what does it mean when the tree's roots are deep? What does it signify? Well, you tell me. When a tree has deep roots, what happens to the tree? The tree becomes stable. The tree becomes solid. It anchors itself in. So too is iman. Once iman enters the heart, it never leaves. The true mu'min who has tasted the sweetness of iman will never leave Islam. And that is why one of the things we notice in today's global society, religiosity is on the decline. The majority of faith traditions are not faithful to their faith traditions. And we too as Muslims are struggling. It is true. But alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, the fact of the matter is that the Muslim ummah is alive with Islam. Look at any survey done by any institute of the globe. Surveys about, do you believe in God? Do you believe in heaven and hell? How often do you pray? What are the most rituals that you do? And by a large margin, there is no competition. The Muslim world is leaps and bounds ahead of every other nation and civilization. Iman is still strong. The vast majority of the Muslims still fast the month of Ramadan. They pray even if occasionally. The vast majority of Muslims, they still believe in Allah and His Messenger at some level. The same cannot be said of many other faith traditions who are struggling to make sure that their people stay within the faith. Why so? How so? Asluha thabit. Roots go deep. In the famous hadith of Sahih Bukhari, when the emperor of Rome, the most powerful man on earth, he got the letter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called Abu Sufyan, who at that time was a pagan. It's a beautiful hadith. I have explained it in detail in other lectures. He asked him a series of 15 questions to verify who was this man. The emperor of Rome is asking the leader of the Quraysh of Mecca. And the emperor of Rome says, tell me, has anybody left Islam after having accepted it? This was a test that Heraclius is asking. Tell me, has anyone left Islam after having accepted it? And Abu Sufyan, who at that time was a non-Muslim, Abu Sufyan said, no, no one has left after having accepted it. This, despite the fact that Islam was being persecuted, people were being tortured to death, Bilal was being dragged in the streets of Arabia and Mecca, and still nobody gave up Islam. Heraclius then responded to every one of these questions, and he clarified, and he said, I asked you this question, why? Because, and this is from the hadith in Bukhari, the sign of a true faith is that when it enters the heart, it never leaves it. This is Heraclius telling Abu Sufyan that the reality of a true religion is that when it enters the heart, it never leaves it. And subhanAllah, this is a lived reality. Look at every masjid around the globe for Jumu'ah and for Ramadan. It is packed to capacity when most other faith traditions are empty. Most other faith traditions are wanting people to come. Alhamdulillah, we have the opposite problem. In every masjid of the world, we have a parking problem. Wallahi, that is a positive problem to have. In every masjid in the world, we are packed to capacity. People have to pray outside if they come late. Wallahi, that is a positive problem to have. Why? Because once iman enters, it never leaves after that. As well, when Allah is saying, asluha thabit, its roots go deep. Not only is the tree stable, but the tree also stabilizes what is around it. In other words, having deep roots makes the tree stable and makes what is around it stable as well. What do I mean by this? Having iman means you will never give up iman. And it also means that iman will stabilize you. Iman will give you that courage, that optimism, that fortitude. Iman will give you that nerve that you need to overcome the problems of this world. The tranquility that you need, the peace that you need will only come from iman. You will be a stable person when the winds of change come, when the hurricanes and cyclones of this world, and we all face those hurricanes and cyclones, financial, personal, marital, societal, government, problems come left and right. How will we remain stable? Asluha thabit. The roots go deep. So iman is what solidifies you and you solidify it. Iman enters the heart and makes you who you are, and then it also helps you in the process of life itself. Asluha thabit. The ayah goes on. Wa faruha fis sama. Its branches are towering in the sky. This isn't some small tree in my backyard. This is a tree whose roots are in the earth and whose branches are towering above the heavens. What is the metaphor here? What is the meaning when Allah is saying, this is a tree whose branches are towering in the sky? Much can be said. First and foremost, iman is clearly visible. Nothing can hide it. Can you hide a tree that is touching the clouds? What will hide a tree? What will make a tree disappear that is touching the clouds? What skyscraper built by man can hide such a tree? Iman, when it truly exists in the heart, it will be manifested in your life. My dear brothers and sisters, it is not enough to say, oh, iman is here, I have it here. Impossible that iman exists in the heart and it is not manifested in your akhlaq. It is not manifested in your mu'amalat. It is not manifested in how you treat others. I swear to you, iman will even be manifested in how you treat your children, and yes, even in how you drive and how you buy and sell. If iman exists, it will be demonstrated. You couldn't hide it even if you wanted to. This is what Allah is saying. فَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Its branches are towering in the sky. As well, the metaphor of towering in the sky is very clear. Iman lifts you up. Iman makes you a role model. Iman causes people to look up to you for stability, for comfort. Large trees protect that which is around it. The larger the tree, the more benefit, the more shade, the more barakah, the more fruits. The more iman you have, the more benefit you will be to your family, your friends, people and society around you. As well, lifting up high is an indication of Jannah itself. Allah is saying, the roots begin here, they end in the heavens. Which means what? There's one way to get to Jannah, and that is La ilaha illallah. Whoever does not have La ilaha illallah will not enter Jannah. وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. The verse goes on, تُؤْتِي أُكُلَهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا. This tree, it gives you its fruits throughout all seasons by the permission of Allah. So two unique things about this tree. Number one, there are no seasons for the tree of iman. You can harvest fruit at any time of the day and night. In summer, in winter, in fall, in spring, in autumn, doesn't matter. The tree of iman is ever fruitful. There is no tree in human existence that is ever fruitful. The tree of iman will give you fruit at all times. When you're down, it will make you optimistic. When you need courage, it will give you courage. When you're sad, it will make you happy. When you need anything, at any time, in any occasion, the tree of iman will give it to you. As well, Allah says, تُؤْتِي أُكُلَهَا. It is giving you its fruits in the plural. It doesn't have one fruit, not just apple, not just orange. Fruits. The tree of iman is evergreen and multi-fruitful. It is evergreen. All types of fruits are growing. And it has many different fruits as well. What are some of these fruits? That will be the topic of my second khutbah, inshallah, in a few weeks. We're going to come back to this verse. We're going to talk about what are some of these fruits of the tree of iman. And Allah concludes this verse by saying, وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. And Allah gives parables to mankind so that they can reflect, they can think about these parables. Inshallah, we will return to this parable in a future khutbah and talk about some of the fruits of this tree of iman. May Allah bless me and you with and through the Quran. And may He make us of those who its verses they understand. And may He make us of those who its ahkam they apply throughout their lifespan. I ask Allah's forgiveness. You as well ask, for He is the Ghafoor, the Rahman. Alhamdulillah, al-wahid, al-ahad, al-samad, al-ladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad wa ba'du. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the tree of Iman doesn't just exist in the heart of one person. It exists in the heart of the Ummah. And as a part of having this tree, it is essential that we recognize all those who have this tree as well. The ukhuwa of Islam, the brotherhood of the Ummah, is one of the most amazing fruits of this tree of Iman. And it is essential, my dear brothers and sisters, that we monitor what is happening in the Ummah. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the believers, in their love for one another, and their mercy for one another, and their tenderness for one another, their example is like that of one body. If even the finger is in pain, the whole body feels that pain until that pain subsides. My dear brothers and sisters, the very least that we can do is to be aware of all that is happening in the Ummah now. And where does one begin? Time is limited. But wallahi, there is one issue that it is on our minds. It should be on our du'as as well. And that is what is happening to our Uyghur brothers and sisters in the land of China. My dear brothers and sisters, for the first time since World War II, millions of people have been rounded up and put into concentration camps. And the world watches on. We know what is happening. Multiple stories stories have come out. The BBC, CNN, they have all reported. This is no longer some conspiracy theory. This is now a fact that up to 3 million people, the number is mind-boggling, but it is on the conservative side. Up to 3 million people, all of them Muslims, all of them have been rounded up and they are being put in concentration camps where they are being tortured, where they are being denied the rights to pray, the right to read the Quran, the right to fast. They are separated from their children. Yesterday, the BBC had an article about how many hundreds of thousands of babies and young boys and girls have been taken away from their parents and given over to non-Muslim families to be raised. This is a tragedy of the highest magnitude, and the world has not seen anything like this since World War II. Wallahi, our hearts are in pain. And of course, this is just the beginning of so many other things that are happening in the world. But the least that we can do, my dear brothers and sisters, the very least is to feel that pain. Wallahi, how callous would we be? How cold-hearted would we be if we don't even care about what is going on? That is not a sign of iman. The least that we can do, make dua for our brothers and sisters. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the most stingy person, abkhalun nas, the most stingy person is the one who is too stingy to make dua. Don't be stingy. Make dua for your brothers and sisters. The least that we can do is to raise public awareness. Make sure that our family and friends, our Muslim family and friends first and foremost, and then our non-Muslim colleagues are aware of what is going on. Every one of us should become an ambassador of this cause and of all causes pertaining to the ummah. This is how PR is done. Every one of us should be actively talking about this issue and the Kashmir crisis and the Palestinian issue and what is happening in Burma and every single land. That is the least that we can do to raise awareness, make dua, help out financially whenever there is a means to do so. If we don't even do this, my dear brothers and sisters, then I fear that our iman is so weak that it doesn't even have a pulse to it. The least is to feel that pain and suffering. Perhaps in merely feeling that pain and making dua, Allah might excuse us. Of course, more can be done. And inshallah, over the course of the next few months and years, inshallah, we'll try to get more ideas what to do. But awareness is the beginning. If you don't even know the problem, how can you begin to understand and solve it? Be aware of what's going on. Follow the latest news and understand the crisis taking place, especially in that land, and make dua for your brothers and sisters. Perchance Allah might forgive us by just making that dua. Allahumma inni da'in fa'amminu. Allahumma la tada'a fi hadhi yawmi dhanban illa ghafarta, wala hamman illa farrajta, wala daynan illa qadayta, wala maridan illa shafayta, wala asiran illa yassarta. Allahumma ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman, wala taj'al fi qulubina ghillan lil ladhina amanu, rabbana innaka ra'ufur rahim. Allahumma أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فأشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز عباد الله إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه فقال عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكته ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين عباد الله إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر وأقم الصلاة
لا يزال الخير حيا لا يزال إن في الدنيا سلاما وظلال أخبر الأيام أنها في وصال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال